You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Hey, do you mind if I join you?
Hey, that dude is talking to you.
Sorry, you.
Not you, it was me. Can you kind of beat it? Because you're a distraction. Hey!
What brings you down here? You're on vacation here with your boyfriend?
No, I'm just here with, my mom.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I am your host, Kale Smith. Joining me today is Patrick Campbell.
Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to be here. It's going to be an interesting day.
It will be. As of this recording, looking at the box office results, both movies we're talking about today are technically bombs. So it's interesting that we're talking about two bombs. Usually I talk about hit movies, or smaller, indie good movies. But this is kind of where it's just run-of-the-mill, or just stuff the studio did not have faith in. And so what movies did the studios not have faith in? Well, it seems to me that they did not have faith in King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, and Snatched.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The writing's been on the walls for King Arthur for a long time. It faced several separate release dates. It had many troubles behind the scenes. This was a movie that continued to just not quite get to where it needed to be, and it has really suffered because of it. And I really wish that we weren't having this conversation, because I'm always up for a good sword and sandal movie. And unfortunately, with this one, we just didn't get there, didn't happen, and I guess it is what it is. As for Snatch, I know that they were going for the counterproduction, or the counter, really looking to do counter promotion, try to do something different for the audience, this R-rated Mother's Day comedy, and they just botched it. They got the wrong lead for the role. This is a movie that doesn't have its heart in its right place, and it suffers because of it.
So let's get into Snatch, because that's, for me, the most interesting movie. I like King Arthur, but I really want to get into Snatch, because that's the Mother's Day movie, and I feel like that's the one that has a lot to talk about, a lot more to talk about. So, Patrick, what were your thoughts on Snatched?
It's not often that a movie makes me remember just how bad and frustrating movies can be. And it's even less, it doesn't happen even, it happens even less often that I'm so frustrated by the time I leave a movie that I don't want to watch another movie. Because this movie, Snatched, is one of the most frustrating and just agitating and egotistical movies I've ever seen for Amy Schumer in general. But as far as a movie goes, this was a movie that was clearly a vanity project that has no reason to exist outside of wanting to do it, which in and of itself is not a bad thing. Movies like that exist all the time. Clerks is a movie that Kevin Smith birthed because he wanted to make a movie. There's nothing wrong with a good vanity project. The problem is Snatched is not a good movie, and it's just not well put together. It's not well thought out. This should not have been the return of Goldie Hawn after 15 years. What a waste of her. What a waste of the supporting cast. This movie angers me a lot, not just because of that, but because I think it sends a completely wrong message to anyone watching it, especially anyone that's supposed to use, especially young girls, because you know that there's going to be teenage girls who are watching this, and this movie sends all the wrong messages. And oh my God, this is a garbage movie that did not deserve the hard drive space that it was filmed on. And I cannot believe that Jonathan Levine did this. This is because Jonathan Levine is a talented filmmaker, and this is a garbage movie, and it has none of his heart. It has none of his anything, and you can tell.
I don't hate it as much as Patrick, but the problem with this movie is it feels like Trainwreck 2 vacation. Because Amy Schumer, I mean, she's basically playing the same character as the character in Trainwreck. And to be fair, I really like Trainwreck. I thought that was actually a really nice, like, meta arc for Amy Schumer as both a comedian and also as the character of the film, where she has... where she starts out as the party girl that we know her to be, because that's her whole shtick, is she's a party girl who claims that, you know, because I, you know, things or do things that women shouldn't do, I'm breaking gender roles. But overall, as the arc, you ultimately realize with her that really she just needs to grow up. Really, the whole movie is her just, I just want to grow, she needs to grow up. She needs to just face reality, like, face life. And to see that, you know, very well done through Judd Apatow's lens, is just, you know, it's really well, I thought it was very well done. I mean, yes, Trainwreck is a long movie, but personally, I really like Trainwreck a lot. And then Snatch has this problem of, it's short, like it gets to the point, gets through the premise, goes through the mill, but it's awesome. But the problem is the lead character is so unlikable, and she is so baffling strange and acts so inhuman-like, that it's hard to believe that she's in this situation. And even worse, Goldie Hawn's the one that's acting realistic. Like, she's giving like the real performance here. Like her whole shtick, not only is it funny, but it's actually kind of like, okay, I can see a person like, you know, fully realizing their drama through this. So, and it's funny. But for me, that's really the issue of the movie itself as the star. Everything else is either okay, or there's stuff like the supporting players that do it, that they're okay. They're quite, actually, they actually help levitate the movie's enjoyment. But then again, you get moments like when I'm just going to go ahead and spoil the movie. She finds her kidnappers, you know, through Wanda Sykes and Joan Cusack's characters, and she still wants to fall in love with them, but she has to be reminded that they're kidnappers. This is your main character.
Our main character in this movie starts so unlikable and so unbelievable that she's talking about herself while she's at the store. And then,
yeah, and she's fired, representative,
and then keeps trying to be like, no, I can't be fired. But no, and she is. She's one of the most unlikable people in the entire world. Throughout this whole movie, I am shocked that Goldie Hawn doesn't just leave her in the jungle to die. Because if I was her mother, I'd be embarrassed by how she's acting all the time. She's a child. And that's a horrible role model. And this whole movie goes along the way to be like, oh, it's okay to be this way. Which I think is absolutely horrible. Only to go as far as her turning point in this movie for her getting better is pouring water in a well. It's the most sad excuse for anything I've ever seen when it comes to a movie like this. It's not a redemption. And poor Goldie Hawn is trying so hard to do something with this character and deal with the daughter. But like you just said, the worst part about this is that she's willing to fuck her kidnapper after all of this, only to have to be reminded that, oh, yeah, he kidnapped you and still has your mom hostage. So he's actually a bad guy, but she's so useless and so inconsistently unreal that she's willing to go and just be with him anyway. That is not okay. And this movie tries to make it okay. And it, Amy is, I don't think she's acting. And that's no, legit. I don't think she's acting. From the things that I know and the things that I hear from a lot of the people that work in the business, she's very similar to the character she's playing. And that makes it that much more unlikable. And it makes it that much more frustrating.
Yeah, and what's even funny about this film is she fought really hard to get everything together. Like, if it did, and not in a, like, you know, oh, I have to raise the money to do it. Not, you know, in a way a producer would, but she was demanding that she had Goldie Hawn in this movie. She was demanding that she had, you know, all these certain things and all these certain things in the script. So, I mean, this is mostly 100% her. Like, I hate to say Jonathan Levine just was a hired gun here, but because, I mean, he tries to make the very stylistic and very atone to certain things. Like, the whole Christopher Maloney segment of the movie is very reminiscent of a, like, Indiana Jones slash, Uncharted game-like.
It's Romancing the Stone.
But, yeah. Or that too, yeah. Like, he tries to add style and substance, or not substance, just style to the, you know, project to make it not look like some, you know, like, Amy did Smith. It. Well, hang on. But he really did just sign off to do a movie where the characters just did whatever, where the actors just did whatever. Like, he was just there to mangle the characters, or actors, I should say, mangle the actors.
I'm going to straight up say it. He was completely just a gun for hire with this movie, and it shows. Because the Jonathan Levine I know is the guy who could do movies like 50-50. He's the guy who can do the movies like The Night Before, which is raunchy and ridiculous and over the top, but heartfelt, and you can feel it and you enjoy it. And a movie that I enjoy to watch now every Christmas. But this movie is not that. His stamp is nowhere in this movie. Like, there's nothing in it that screams Jonathan Levine. There's nothing about that director that I know in this movie. And it's so frustrating to me that his talent is wasted on a movie like this. He and Goldie Hawn and Christopher Maloney and Joan Cusack try so hard to make this a movie worth watching, and it never comes together. It's always just frustrating and agitating and terrible. And to me, that is just not okay. That this is a movie that should have been good. It really should have been good.
Yeah, it's got the talent. Yeah, it has the talent to do it. You know, and Katie Diplett, who was the writer on this movie, is not a bad screenwriter. She's not some useless, she's not a useless writer that can't write any comedy. Like, she wrote The Heat, and she's written episodes for, I think it was The Office, I think. Yes. And she co-wrote Ghostbusters, which the Ghostbusters remake, and that wasn't that bad. So, I mean, she's not a terrible writer. But the arcs and everything in this movie, everything that would seem like character stuff or arcs, is just kind of like blown over or just like glossed over.
Yep.
Like, the whole ending is so frustrating for me, because you would think after all this trauma and knowing the mother character, she would not ever go back to South America. But a year later, she apparently is this fun, you know, 50-year-old woman that's, you know, partying back in South America. And yes, I just spoiled the ending, but I don't think it's a movie worth seeing. I don't think it's worth seeing in the theater. So
everything about this movie is wrong. And it's sad that Christopher Maloney is really, outside of Goldie Hawn, the really, really only good part of this movie. And he's only in it for like 15 minutes before they can. And that is bad screenwriting. And I also don't like the whole joke about Amy accidentally killing people and being good at it. And then, oh, but I can't actually. That whole thing plays so many times in the movie, and it's never funny. Especially at the end when she's counting down to shoot the guy and she starts it out. That's not funny. It's stupid. And to be honest, it really underwrites, like, it again shows that that character has not progressed at all, that she's willing to defend her herself or her mother. And I'm not saying that killing people is right, obviously, but where is the, I'm supposed to believe this character has grown at all? And at the end, she hasn't.
And how dumb is she not to, you know, work a spear gun? Like, it's not that complex. It's not like, you know, it's not like, I don't know, a bazooka or something. It's not, a gun is not complex. Just don't pull the trigger.
No, absolutely. And that's this whole movie in a nutshell, though. Everything about this movie is just terribly unrealistic throughout and just stupid. Just completely stupid. And there's this scene with a tapeworm that doesn't even belong in the movie that is in this movie that is so out of place and weird and just it. I don't understand how this exists. I don't understand how this movie got made. I really don't, because this is just a garbage movie, man. Like, it was painful to sit through.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm not looking for realism in comedies at all. Like, but
there's like a line.
But there's a line where I'm like, okay, this is really dumb. Like, how, like, this is, the tapeworms don't work like that.
No.
They'd rather stay in the body. And in fact, they're probably attached to the body. That's probably why, you know, it hasn't, like, gone through her digestive system yet. And that whole operation was so dumb.
That whole thing is garbage. This whole movie is just frustrating from beginning to end. And if you guys want to read my full review, you can actually head to SoCalThrills.com. This is a movie, for me, this is supposed to be a comedy, and I never really laughed. The only time I ever laughed was when Goldie Hawn would try to do good comedy, and Goldie Hawn is great in this. I need to undersell, Goldie Hawn really is great in this.
She is, like, she is actually playing a character.
Yeah, and
a character that's believable.
Again, Christopher Maloney, he's awesome. He steals the movie. I wish that he was in it more. I am always about, like, trying to find the thing that's good in a movie. Those are the good things. Joan Cusack, she's fun in the movie. She doesn't do a lot. She doesn't talk, but she's kind of funny when she's, like, crawling around like a crazy assassin person. That was cute. But this movie is not good. This is a don't waste your time. But like I said, check out my review on SoCalThrills.com. I would love to talk to you guys about it.
I'll put the link in the description of this podcast.
You are the man, Kale.
Yeah. And so let me ask a couple more questions before we move on. Let me pull up my notes again. Oh, what did I do with my notes? I had them right here. Okay. Actually, answered everything. Oh, let me ask you this. So if we don't want people to watch Snatch this weekend, Patrick, what would you say is a good movie to watch on Mother's Day?
So if you're staying in and you want to watch a movie on Mother's Day, like, the thing about Mother's Day stories, there's not a ton of them. And there's...
Yeah.
Like, Freaky Friday is a great mother-daughter story and stuff like that. But to me, if you're going to watch a movie with your mom that's a Mother's Day movie, like, or just a movie that you want to watch with her on Mother's Day because you want to support your mom and show her something fun, movies like You've Got Mail, movies like Shop Around the Corner, movies like Sleepless in Seattle. You know, these movies that are these very kind of romantic and wonderful, just movies about characters who are looking for things in life. And we forget, man, that's the kind of stuff our moms want. They want to watch movies like that. Those are the kind of that really appeal to their sensibilities. And for all the stuff they do for us and all the crappy TV shows and movies we made them watch growing up, sit down with your mom. Watch something that maybe she wants to watch. Those movies are the kind of things that really, really work with them and that they really enjoy. A lot of the older Jimmy Stewart movies are like that. I mean, a lot of the old Frank Capra movies, just in general. I mean, It Happened One Night is another great movie that you could do. Charade with Audrey Hepburn and Cary Grant. That's another one that's really fantastic. And that one's a little bit more of a thriller, but it's totally the kind of movie that I recommend for Mother's Day. Because I don't go for the very typical. I try to go for the...
Okay. I will say this. Have you ever heard of Nancy Myers?
Of course, of course.
Yeah, I would say watch any of her movies, but there's one in particular, and every now and then I get some looks when I say that I like this movie, and it is partially a nostalgic thing. But I would recommend people watch for Mother's Day the Parent Trap remake with Dennis Quaid and Nancy Richardson and Lindsay Lohan.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I occasionally get looks because this movie is very cheesy and very unrealistic, like completely. And I know I just bashed a movie that is completely unrealistic. But the thing is, if you're looking for realism in a Nancy Myers movie, then you're completely going, you know, you're completely looking in the wrong direction.
Well, and if we're going to be talking about Nancy Myers, like, can I throw out Something's Gotta Give? Father of the Bride, the remake that she did of that, What Women Want, and It's Complicated. Also really great films that are great movies. Something's Gotta Give is one I actually very, very much love. You can't not like having Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson in a movie together. You just can't. What Women Want was a fun Mel Gibson comedy with Helen Hunt. He hasn't really done a lot of comedies, so that one's always fun. And It's Complicated, Meryl Streep, Steve Martin, Alec Baldwin. Fantastic film. I can't recommend it enough.
It is. And I will say, like, look, you know, Nancy Meyer movies, they're not really, you know, they're not the best, they're not realistic, or, you know, they or have characters that are the best of role models. But the thing is about Nancy Myers is she comes from an earnest place, and she comes, you know, and she really does wear her heart on her sleeve when she's writing and directing these movies with these huge stars. But I recommend The Parent Trap because I love all of like the mother-daughter stuff in the movie, particularly with, you know, the character Hallie and her mom in Paris, I think. And I love all of that stuff. Like it's, you know, very sweet, but also there's, you know, but also it's really nice. Like it's truly wonderful. It's a very interesting subplot for the movie. And I really like The Parent Trap a lot, and I want people to check it out. But if you're looking for another movie to watch other than some Nancy Meyer movies, I would also throw in Freaky Friday as well. I enough credit.
Yeah, I actually just recently rewatched that with my wife, and it's a fun little movie. I gotta say, I enjoy that movie quite a bit.
Yeah, I really like it a lot. It's a fun movie, fun Lindsay Lohan movie during the time when she was just hitting everything, like with Mean Girls. And
she was the best. She was on, and she's really good.
Yeah, I wish she would. I wish Lindsay Lohan would have some sort of a comeback.
I do too. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, I want her to. I don't. I know she was a Machete, but
she was fun. My goodness.
I Yeah, she was fun, but I want her to kind of go back, like come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, let's just come back a little bit. But one day maybe. All right, so I think we've talked enough about Snatched. Let's talk about the biggest bomb of the weekend. King Arthur.
At this point, I feel very few movies will bomb as spectacularly as King Arthur did this weekend.
Yeah, and this is from the same filmmaker who brought us the Man from U.N.C.L.E., which just totally got botched. Just total, not only botched, but completely bombed in every aspect. But a lot of people still like the King of, or the Man from U.N.C.L.E., so including myself.
I like Man from U.N.C.L.E. I don't seem to like it as much as everyone else, which makes me think I need to sit down and rewatch it. Maybe I just wasn't in the right mindset when I went in to watch it, which could have played a part, but I'm totally willing to give it another chance. Because I'm a Guy Ritchie fan, but I don't think Guy Ritchie has been quite as on par as he was in the early days when he was working with Matthew Vaughn.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't particularly care. I like the first Sherlock Holmes, but I don't really care for the sequel.
And Matthew Vaughn didn't work. Like, I like the first one, but ever since, I'd say, because Matthew Vaughn produced Layer Cake with, Guy Ritchie produced Layer Cake with Matthew Vaughn, and then I don't think they've really worked together since then, and something about that relationship was really special, man, and it's not quite the same anymore.
I agree. But I think it's for the best because I think Matthew Vaughn needed to grow and needed to branch out.
And he's becoming a consistently better filmmaker than Guy Ritchie, which is interesting, to say the least.
It is. It's very interesting. So since he went first on Snatch, I'll go ahead and... Well, actually, I did a... You know what? Go first on King Arthur, because I already talked about King Arthur a couple weeks ago on my React show.
Here's the thing with King Arthur, and here's what I just kind of want to say, is that out the gate, you can read, again, SoCalThrills.com. My review is up there. Kale will link it in the bottom of the video, like talking about. King Arthur is a fun but overly frustrating movie. Because somewhere underneath everything, there is a good movie. The problem is, there's really not a good movie here. This movie tries to do too many things because you can tell that no one is on the same page. And because no one is on the same page, this movie just does whatever this movie feels like doing. That is not how filmmaking is done, especially nowadays. So for me, it's very frustrating to watch this movie knowing that there could have been something great and it never happens. And all the pieces are there. Again, I'm a Guy Ritchie fan going a long way back. I've been liking Guy Ritchie movies since the 90s when I was younger. So this is a movie that should have hit with me. I love Sword and Sandal films. I love the Arthur legend. I love all these things. And yet, for some reason, they made this movie that is so unfocused and so badly put together and so badly thought out that there's not a coherent movie here. There's no reason for me to care that the villain kills his family as we're going along, because you're never given the reason to care. Jude Law is in a completely different movie than everyone else, by the way. We should just throw that out there. He's not dressed like any other character in this movie. I know he's royalty, but he looks like he looks fairly modern for a character to be in a film. He's overacting compared to everyone else, which is, it would be fine if this was a normal Guy Ritchie movie like it is in the first act. But then it stops being a Guy Ritchie movie. It never recovers. And then we should talk about, this should be a pretty much action-y type adventure film. There's not that much action in this movie. And when there is, half of it looks like a video game. And that's not a good thing. And I've got to say, man, like, I was hyped for this. I was excited. I didn't love the trailers, but I was like, oh, I just think they're not selling it correctly. I should have known from all the whispers I'd been hearing out of the studio that this movie was a mess, but I didn't want to believe it because it was a Guy Ritchie movie, and I wanted to believe this was going to be good. The only reason I think he got Aladdin at this point is because there's a giant snake in the third act of this movie. I am convinced that is the only reason he got Aladdin is because he has a giant snake. I am convinced that they didn't watch this movie because it is so tonally inconsistent and so bonkersly all over the place that it never comes together as a movie. I would have much rather this had been a movie about the Knights of the Round Table after all of this, because I didn't need the Arthur origin. I just want a movie about the Knights of the Round Table and their adventures after. And I don't think at this point I'm ever going to get that movie outside of Excalibur. And that sucks. Because there could have been a great movie in that. And when your movie ends with its last line literally being, it's a table, this Arthur tale. There's no reason that of all things, is that joke, one, plays way too long. And two, when they finally go, yeah, it's a table, it's clearly the round table, you don't need to talk down to the audience. And that's what you do at the end of your movie. That's not okay. Bad, bad idea, bad ending, bad movie, bad Guy Ritchie, bad. Go sit in the corner.
Okay. I think you were very hyped because I saw the movie like a week earlier than you, and I freaking came out of this like really like enjoying the movie, like singing its praise. As for my thoughts, I thought it was a fun movie. I thought as a Guy Ritchie movie, it is extremely Guy Ritchie, and it's trying to be the street, King Arthur, ground level King Arthur, but the opening is, there's these giant mountain-sized elephants that are being guided by Mordred. And you have Eric Bana basically sacrificing his horse to jump on these elephants. And then he kills while an old like Irish folk song is playing in the background. And I don't know, like it's just everything like, and like the video game stuff you described, I actually kind of liked it that it looked like a video game. It looked like something different. It didn't look like, any typical action movie.
Yeah, but there was other ways to do it than that. Like, there is so many other ways to try to do this than the ways that they did. And that's why I'm frustrated. And I guess I should expect it to go that way because it kind of looked like the things that Guy Ritchie had done before in Sherlock Holmes. But in Sherlock Holmes, it worked. In this, it didn't. It didn't feel right to the character or the story they were telling, and it was really frustrating, and every time it would pull me out of the movie. I walked out of this, and I looked over to one of my friends that I went to see the movie with. I don't want to name drop because I don't want to be that person, because I'm not trying to be like, oh, the people that I... They're just the people that I know that I go to the movies with. And
right.
We walked out, and I looked at her, and I went, oh, my God. It was trying so hard to be like this new cover of a story that you really love. Like, the cover songs, like Disturbed does the cover song of a song you really love, but it's nothing more than actually the Kidz Bop version because it never fucking together in any sort of way. They take everything I like about this hard rock, badass, let's be awesome, and then just become this like lame Kidz Bop video game teeny bop version of it, and it's bullshit. And I sound so bitter because I wanted to love this movie. I wanted to love this movie. And it's frigging, oh my God, it's such a missed opportunity. It's so disappointing. Sorry, Kale.
I don't know. Here's the, well, okay, I'll defend my love for this a little bit. I don't know. I have been waiting, so I'm not a video game person, but every time I see like a demo or someone do a playthrough of a video game, like, you know, Elder Scrolls or God of War or Resident Evil or any of those games, I'm like, fuck, why can't we have something like this, like visually interesting, in a fucking movie? And finally Guy Ritchie fucking does it. Like, he like has, like, when Vortigern turns into like a basically a cloud demon or something. No, that sounds terrible. Okay, I don't know, muscular Skeletor. I was like, holy shit, this is fucking awesome. Like, it look like the whole movie is like the, and then the whole final fight with Vortigern and Arthur, him, you know, fighting, all of that looked really cool. Like, it looked very visually interesting. And also it works for the movie because the whole film's arc is about King Arthur overcoming trauma. I mean, he was a child when he saw his parents die, and the whole arc of the movie is him accepting the trauma and not letting that trauma take over his life. And I feel like that was kind of, and it's, you know, it's stuff we've seen before. What?
The more we talk about this, the less I like it. And that's not a good thing.
Oh, crap.
The more, like, legitimately, I'm sitting here, and the more we talk about it, the more I'm getting frustrated by it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is not okay. And I never wanted that to happen because I kind of liked it. And now I'm liking it less as we talk about it because I'm getting more frustrated and more disappointed about what it should have been. And that is horribly frustrating.
Maybe I should make it and I think I said this on my React video. I'm not a King Arthur person. I took a class that, you know, was a King Arthur-esque class, and that's all I care to know about King Arthur. Everything I wanted to know, it was way more than I ever wanted to know about the character. I've never been the King Arthur person, but seeing this movie and seeing what they did, like, just completely, like, you know, yes, I realize Mordred is supposed to be Arthur's bastard son, but for some reason he's there before he's even born. Like, yes, I realize these are inconsistent to the mythology, but I'm still, I still am liking what Ritchie did. Like, I still like the chances he took.
Here's the bottom line for me. When this movie goes out of its way to make the fact that the sword, that the stone that the sword is in is his father, just to make the stone that much more apparent or that much more important to the story, you have gone so far out of your way to try to coax emotion out of the audience and force this origin in a new way that you have failed the audience. That is so fucking ridiculous. And such, like, I don't like when people are talking about movies, especially the Oscar bait movies, and they're like, oh, it's just trying to make people emote, and it's not, like, it's really just fake. No, that's what this movie did. This movie is trying so hard to make you feel things by being like, oh, look, his father sacrificed himself to save him. He became the stone that the sword is stuck in. Oh my God, how powerful. No, it's not. It's bullshit. This whole thing. And it's funny because
you know what's really funny is that the stone doesn't look anything like his dad when it comes out of the water.
Exactly. And then there's that. Look, you know me. I'm not that hard to please. Like, the fact that I like the new XXX more than this movie. The fact that I like the fifth Underworld movie more than this movie.
Okay, now you're just bullshitting.
No, I'm being completely serious. And that's why I'm so frustrated. Because there's no reason that I should like the fifth Underworld film and the new XXX movie more than this. Okay, I should always like the new XXX film more than this because it has Donnie Yen. But still.
It gets a pass because Donnie Yen was in it.
Yes, and Ice Cube. And it was awesome. Fuck you guys. I know that some of you are thinking, of, like, what the hell is this guy doing? The new XXX is cheesy and ridiculous, but at least it knows exactly what it is, and I appreciate it for that. That is enough.
Hey, that's, you know, that's something that you can have over King Arthur, because I'll give anyone that talks about King Arthur of how inconsistent it is or how, like, it's like two or three movies. Like, I'll give people that because it is like one scene, it's a street level movie, but then the next, there's like these epic shots of the castles and.
Yeah. And it's totally weird. Because what I'm going to say next, it sounds even crazier. And you're going to go, wait, what? And it's flipping weird because what's so strange to me that when it came to Alien, and I know we're going to be talking about Covenant when it comes out, but I've already
next week.
I've already seen it. I had my critic screening last week. Again, if you want to go read my review, it's already up on SoCalThrills.com. I appreciate if you guys read it and tweet at me after. But Alien Covenant is two very separate movies, but it works because in Alien Covenant's case, they meld together because the series is so distinctly two things through Prometheus and Alien. So for that series or for that particular movie, it works. Here it doesn't, because the reason it's this way is that no one is on the same page making the movie. And you can feel the things when it was reshot. You can feel the things where stuff has been pulled out to be edited over. And I wish that it had just been a Guy Ritchie movie. The street level stuff at the beginning of the movie is way more interesting than anything else happening in the movie. And that's crazy to me. It really is.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that stuff was in the Comic-Con teaser, which was my favorite trailer out of all the stuff that's come out of this marketing campaign. You know, hearing the story of, you know, them going back and forth, like, yeah, that's a really good scene. It's a cool way to tell a story.
Yeah, it totally is, man. And I just wish that it had actually worked, you know? And it's frustrating for me. It really is, because I wanted to love this movie, man. I wanted so badly to just be over the moon and so excited and so happy. And yet I was frustrated and angry and agitated, and it never should have been that way. And that's a bummer. No matter how you cut it, it's a bummer, you know? And I wanted to believe that this was going to be the movie, like the one that I'd been waiting for. And it just never happens. It never comes together. And for me, I hoped so much, and maybe it's because I hoped too much and really believed that they could do something special and different, but man, it just friggin' blows my mind that this thing was so inconsistently put together and just so wishy-washy, and that sucks, because I wanted to love the shit out of this movie. I really, really did.
So let me ask you this, since we're approaching the box office, or as of this recording, we haven't seen the full weekend estimates yet, but it's pretty much determined. This movie's pretty much going to bomb anyway. It's going to make less than $15 million. Unless some miracle happens tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah. This thing's pretty much DOA. It just is, you know?
Yeah. So let me ask this. Why is it so hard to not only sell a King Arthur movie, but why is it so hard to make one that people can generally like?
I think that because with Arthur, there's so many different ways to tell the story. And the problem is I don't think that there's ever going to be just one way to do it. But the problem is that they're trying to go to too many extreme ways to do it. Because remember, about 10 years ago, we had another Arthur movie, the Disney one.
Yeah, with
Clive.
Yeah, with Clive Owen. Yeah,
and that one went for this like really grounded approach. Remember, Merlin was just a crazy homeless dude that was living in the mountains, like he didn't actually know magic. It was a very weird take on it. Way too grounded without the magic. This one starts grounded, but doesn't, and they try to use the magic, and it never quite comes together because they try to do too much of both. There's got to be some middle ground of having like a realistic but magical take. You'd almost have to do something closer to, it's going to sound weird, but like a Harry Potter mixed with Lord of the Rings, like a real fantasy epic type thing. You'd have to be able to meld the two and make it flow.
You mean like Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I mean, Game of Thrones is doing a really good job of it, but Arthur is a lot more family friendly, so that's why I'm kind of, well, maybe not really family friendly, but it's perceived that way to a lot of people. So you'd almost have to do it, like I said, like a Harry Potter mixed with Lord of the Rings type thing.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have, like, I mean, it's family friendly because of that Disney movie, The Sword in the Stone film they did. Like, that's the reason why it's so family friendly. But really, this, you know, as I remember the, you know, from the class, the Arthurian legend is pretty violent and filled with, you know, a lot of betrayal, a lot of.
Oh, yeah. No. You're totally right. And that's why I was like, well, maybe not. Like, I'm kind of backtracking on that thought process. But at the same time, I'm totally like, you know.
Right. Oh, I get it.
It's just crazy because there is a good story underneath all of this. There really is. I just wish that it had found a way to really come to screen. And it doesn't. And that's frustrating.
Yeah. I guess for me, the reason why King Arthur doesn't quite work is because of all of the things you just said. Like, there are so many different ways to tell it, and there has been so many different versions of it. I mean, I even remember in the same class, they did a whole prequel movie about the sword, the damn sword in the movie called The Last Legion.
Yep.
But I don't know, like, it's really hard to like figure out King Arthur because on one hand, there's some good stuff that's completely not King Arthur at all, but somehow still works, like this movie and that Sean Connery King Arthur movie, Last Knight.
Mm-hmm.
That I really like.
That's one of my favorite takes on the Arthur. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a really well done movie. Like, it's, I mean, it does, it takes its, I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah, it definitely has its own liberties, at least.
Yeah, but I still, I don't know. It's like, I don't find the, after like so many films and so many like stuff, you know, pieces of work that has been done on Arthur, because really King Arthur is probably like the most like exploited fable ever, you know, ever, like, because there's just been so many tales, and because it's public domain, like, you, anyone can do anything with it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is this, so, this will not be the last Arthur movie we see.
Expect like 10 more of these in my lifetime.
Yeah, I just hope that by the time that you and I are old and gray, is, you know, assuming Trump hasn't nuked the planet by then, that we actually get the Arthur movie that you and I have been waiting for, you know? Like, I feel like it's coming. It will happen one day. Someone will figure out the way to do this. I just do not know exactly how, but I know it's going to. Like, I can feel it.
Yeah, I mean, I like the pieces. I like the stuff that was in it. Like, I liked it while I was watching it. But then again, I still am like going, you know, back a weekend thinking, man, that Guardians 2 is really something.
Yeah, and that,
that's the thing,
man. Like, we're gonna keep sitting here going, oh, well, I mean, things were cool about it, but eventually we're going to want to, you know, other things. And that's just kind of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what else can we say about King Arthur, Legend of the Sword? I mean,
it really isn't as bad as a lot of people are expecting, but it's still not good. And I know that I've been like, now my tune has kind of changed. And yeah, it kind of has. While we've been sitting here, I did like it less. But I really encourage people to make up their own minds when they see things. And this, for me, is one of those times where I'm going, you know, I didn't love it, but I want other people to give it a shot because you might. And that's okay. That's the thing that people don't understand about film and why I love film so much. It's all completely subjective. Everything I know about movies that I've learned over time is that it doesn't matter what a movie is, no matter how much I might dislike it, that movie is someone's favorite movie out there in the world. And if one, if one filmmaker was able to make one favorite movie for one person out there in the world, they have done their job. And I don't care who it, you can't argue against that. I don't care how bad you think a movie is. There are some garbage movies out in the world that I absolutely hate. But I know somewhere out there that some person probably loves that movie. And that is enough to make that movie's existence worth it for one person, regardless of how I feel. And that's really, really cool.
Yeah, I will say this about King Arthur. I do recommend people to watch it, but you know, don't go in absolutely hating it, or don't go in with a certain amount of expectations. Like for me, I got a chance to see this 2 weeks early, and I haven't really watched, paid attention to many of the trailers since the Comic-Con release. And I thought it was really good, and I hope people do. As far as when you see it, I don't really care. I mean, it's a, you know, it's not like a Guardians 2 where it's like, this has to be experienced on the big screen or in order to experience all the bright colors and visuals and the story with that audience. Because the thing about King Arthur is there's nothing there. There's nothing as twisty or as interesting as Guardians 2. But where it's like, oh my gosh, you have to see it with an audience to get that visceral feel of it. But I still recommend King Arthur. This was, I definitely recommend it over Snatch.
Yeah, if you're going to see one of these movies, go see King Arthur. But if you're going to go see anything else, I recommend Guardians 2. It's a great movie. It did a lot of good. It's very well done. I recommend it a lot.
All right, so I think we've talked enough about these two movies. So Patrick, where can the, if you're done talking about these movies,
I'm talking about these movies at this point, because you and I have been talking a lot about these movies over the last week or so, and I'm ready for new things. I'm ready for us to move on to good movies, Gale. We deserve it.
I am too. Movies can be good.
Movies can be good. Right now, they're mostly bad, and that's okay, because it will swing the other way eventually.
There will be. All right, so Patrick, where can the good people find you?
Good people can find me on Twitter at PJ_Campbell, or at Facebook at @PatrickCampbell_PJ. Of course, as I've said throughout the show, if you guys want to check out my reviews, they are on a website called SoCalThrills.com. This is a great site. It's got a lot of cool information about things going on in Southern California, play reviews, all sorts of things. I am the main film critic over there. I would love your support. So if you guys get the chance, please head over there, read some of my reviews. Let me know what you think. It's a lot of fun for me to actually get to sit and talk about this stuff with you guys. So I really, really, really appreciate the support. So if you want to give, you know, give me the chance, then please head over there. I'd really appreciate it. Oh, and of course, I also host Real Film Chatter. Kale comes over there sometimes. I really need to plug that as well. We have a great time over there. The Real Film Chatter is my baby. I have a lot of fun. We've got a lot of announcements coming up that I'm really excited to talk about with you guys too. So please just continue to support us. If you haven't, find us on iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review the show. We really appreciate the support. And Kale, we always love having you. So thank you for having me here.
Thanks, Patrick. And I will leave links to all of everything that Patrick just said right now and throughout the podcast in the description for Podbean and iTunes and all that fun stuff. You can find me at Movie Kale, and you can also follow this podcast at The Youth Critic, and also check out our network's Twitter channel at KHC Network. And yes, I do recommend checking out Film Chat, Real Film Chatter. It is a lot of fun, a lot of good movie news, a lot of good discussions of movie news. I have been there a couple times, and check them out. They're awesome. And Patrick really runs a tight ship over there.
I try my best. It doesn't always happen, but we try.
It's a good show. All right. Thanks, everyone. As far as this week is concerned, there is an Alien Retrospective podcast coming at some point in the week. I know on the slate it says Thursday, but that might change a little bit. I don't want to post no later than Saturday, but it will be there Thursday or Friday. And there will also be a Mad Max Retrospective podcast as we continue forward with the Youth Critic Retrospective, which is my new show. Next podcast will be out Sunday, as usual, as the other retrospective podcasts will be. Right now, you can check out my retrospective podcast that I did with Danilo Martinez on this channel at KHC Network, Podbean, and iTunes. You can check that, the first episode, which we did Conan the Barbarian with Arnold Schwarzenegger. We covered that. We already did the first episode. It's out there. It's a lot of fun. Me and Danilo had a lot of fun reviewing this movie, and please check it out. And there will be more retrospective episodes as well as more Youth Critic podcasts coming throughout the summer. Thanks, everyone. We will be back with you next week for Alien Covenant.
Please, open up!
I can't do this without an infection.
Oh, my God!